from the book of Mark. We're taking selections from the 10th chapter as well as the 11th chapter. They were on the road going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus was walking ahead of them. They were amazed, and those who followed were afraid. He took the 12 aside again and began to tell them what was to happen to him, saying, "See, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. Then they will hand him over to the Gentiles. They will mock him and spit upon him and flog him and kill him. And after 3 days, he will rise again." When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this: 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back here immediately.'" They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest." When he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple, and when he looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Gospel of the Lord. So we are concluding our Lenten series this morning entitled At the Crossroads. And this morning we come to a fork in the road. And the good news we are proclaiming today is that while the real life Jesus may not seem like the Savior that we want, he is most certainly the Savior we need. How many of you have had the experience of wanting something, even though you knew it was not what you needed? Something that was bad for you, or something that wouldn't really satisfy your desires, but you really, really wanted it. This happens the most with food, I think, right? Like, I know that I should eat the leftover chicken breast from last night, but I really want a Big Mac and supersized fries, but because I'm watching my calories, I'll get the Diet Pop, right? I should eat the pack of almonds for a snack and be good until dinner, but I really, really love peanut butter M&Ms. And I know I'll be hungry again in an hour, but that's what it is that I want. I think it's possible for us to do this in our faith life as well. We want the Jesus who uplifts us, who makes us happy, who will bless us and guarantee our success. That's the Jesus that the disciples wanted too. That's the Jesus that the world he entered into wanted. The Messiah that the world was expecting at that time was the one who would lift the burdens of the Jewish people, who were suffering under the rule of the Romans. They were overtaxed and underserved. They had rose up in rebellion only to have those rebellions crushed brutally by the Romans. And yes, they were allowed to practice their religion, but that was about the extent of the freedom that they had. And their belief was that the Messiah would come at any point and would throw off the yoke of Roman oppression and restore the nation of Israel to its prominence, to take up again the throne of their beloved King David. And the Messiah would come and would rule with wisdom and with power. Jesus' disciples saw him as this kind of Messiah. They wanted the rock star Jesus. And because they were his loyal followers, when he would, in their minds, ascend to the throne of David, that they would go along with him. And they would find themselves in positions of significance. And for a while, if you read through the Gospels, it looks like this is going to happen. That Jesus commands crowds and thousands who would come. He would perform miracles. He attracted all kinds of people to him. And for a time, it seemed like the Messiah they wanted was the Messiah that they had. And it didn't really matter that Jesus repeatedly acted in ways that ran counter to their belief. When he dined with notorious sinners, when he picked fights with the religious elite, and even when he told them that he would die, they still believed that this greatness was coming. But now in our passage today, they are approaching Jerusalem and things are starting to get real. There's a sense of impending doom that they experience. This Jesus that they had been following, for the first time, they really began to understand this might not be the Savior that they wanted. But what they will find is that he was the Savior that they needed. So we read in Mark 10 that the disciples were both amazed and afraid. Why? They were amazed because Jesus was willing to do this in the first place. That he was walking this road to Jerusalem knowing full well what would await him. And it was what that was awaiting him that they were also afraid of. Not just for him, but for also themselves. They were afraid of what's coming next. And so Jesus pulls them together, and I can imagine they're thinking to themselves, okay, here comes the pep talk. Like, here comes the assurance that everything is going to be okay, right? And then Jesus does the exact opposite. He says, guys, something bad's going to happen. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to be mocked. I'm going to be spit on. And I'm going to die. But don't worry. 3 days later, I'm going to rise. Now, I don't know what happens to you when you hear bad news. But we tend to hear the first piece of the bad news and just stop listening, right? Stop hearing what else is being said. And I would imagine that the disciples' heads are reeling at this point. Sure, they had heard Jesus say this before, but they were following the rock star Jesus, the one that commanded crowds of thousands who everyone wanted a piece of. And so they never really heard it before, even when they heard it. But now this was a ragtag group heading up to Jerusalem. They were going to the place that Jesus had planned on going all along, and they realized that his death was always a part of the plan. And they had a choice in that moment. They had reached a fork in the road in this conversation, because they could have said, you know what? We're not doing this. They had the choice to walk away, or they could follow the real life Jesus to his death. And then we come to Mark 11 and a scene that had to be really confusing to these guys. So they hear Jesus say, I'm going to die. Bad things are about to happen. They get him this donkey, which to us doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But the donkey was how a member of the royalty would ride into a new city as a sign of peace. That this prince or this king would be coming, not to bring war, but to bring peace. And so Jesus riding on a donkey was symbolic of him being the Prince of Peace. And so he rides in on this donkey, and what happens? A scene not unlike the scene that we just had at the beginning of worship. Waving of palms, celebration, singing of songs, Hosanna in the highest. Finally, the rock star Jesus is here. He's getting the response from Jerusalem that the disciples would have wanted. But these worshipers didn't know the real life Jesus. They only knew the rock star Jesus. He was not the Jesus, the Messiah, the Savior that they wanted. He was the Jesus they needed. But these same worshipers in just a few days would be the same ones who would spit on him, who would mock him, and who would cheer as he was arrested and crucified. The challenge of Holy Week is a bit like going to see a movie or putting a movie in the DVD player that you've seen a million times before. Even if it's a movie that you love, you know how the story ends. And so we enjoy the movie, we laugh with the movie, we cry with the movie, but it's really hard to recapture that emotional connection the first time we saw that movie. There's no real way for us to feel the emotions that the disciples of Jesus would have felt heading up to Jerusalem, hearing the words of Jesus about what was going to happen, and then seeing the celebration that did not match what they thought was happening. This roller coaster of coming to the realization that Jesus was not the Savior that they wanted, that he would die. And along with him, their desires for glory and grandeur would go with it. And yet there was something that kept them at his side. Some hope that all of this would turn out okay. That the stuff that he said would happen, it might not happen like that. And so they continue with Jesus on the road toward the cross, not really believing that the cross was at the end of that road. I think you and I can be a lot like these disciples. We want the Jesus that promises us happiness and success and prosperity. The rock star Jesus is really attractive, right? And while we hear about the real life Jesus who does die, we don't like to think about that because it messes with our preferred image of who Jesus is and our preferred image of what faith and discipleship look like. But the rock star Jesus isn't real. The way of Jesus does not promise happiness and success and prosperity, even though we cling to the hope that it might. Somehow, it might. Like the disciples, we find out that the way of Jesus is the way of death. And so we stand at that same fork in the road. Will we trust the real life Jesus who leads us in the way of death but promises us resurrection? Or will we cling to the rock star Jesus who we hope will bring us success and glory without ever having to die to ourselves? But because this kind of Jesus, this rock star Jesus, doesn't exist, he can't really deliver on those promises. And the truth is, we need the real life Jesus. Because there is stuff in us that needs to die. Selfishness, materialism, individualism, fear, sin. This stuff needs to die. And if we just cling to the rock star Jesus, then we'll never ever deal with those things that need to die. But these are burdens that are too much for us to carry, and so we need to walk the way of death with the real life Jesus. Now, this is hard for us to process because, barring a tragic accident or a sudden illness, most of us will live long and healthy, fairly comfortable lives. We don't have to fear what many Christians around the world fear. If you turned on the news or checked the internet this morning, you would have seen a news story about 21 Christians killed in Egypt when their church was bombed, celebrating what we're celebrating today. It's unlikely that any of us will have to deal with that, with the possibility of physical death for the sake of our faith. But the way of death that Jesus leads us in, while not towards the physical, still leads us on a way of death. And it's the death to our sinful self. And the death to our sinful selves, it is painful. But it's that death to sinful self, that in that death, Jesus brings us salvation. Because by the power of the resurrection, in that death, we are given new life. The real life, Jesus, may not be the Savior that we want, but He is the Savior we need. Our family, we've been learning a little bit of this death to ourselves over the last few years to follow the call of Christ. Laura and I have both given up comfortable, secure jobs. We moved out of our comfort zone, both physically, but in many day-to-day ways. It seems like daily God is showing us new ways to die to ourselves. And let me tell you how much fun that is. How we spend our time, how we handle our finances, in the things that are important to us. God is calling us on a daily basis to die to ourselves for something else. And there are things that Jesus is wanting to put to death in you. Now, it's probably going to be different. What God is calling us to die to is going to be different than what God will call you to die to. But the reality is that the things that you want from the rock star Jesus, you're not going to get. Not in any real permanent way. And it's time to let that stuff die. But as I said a minute ago, there is a difference between the disciples of Jesus in that day and the disciples of Jesus in this day. Because we do know how the story ends. We do know the end of the movie. And we know that Jesus is on the other side of the cross, offering us new life, offering that which is far greater than that which He has put to death in our lives. And so while it is hard and it is painful, we walk the way of Jesus to the cross, because without death there cannot be resurrection. Jesus isn't always the Savior we want, but He is the Savior we need. And so this Holy Week, as we seek to engage this reality, there's two invitations I would like you to consider. The first is to take the Gospel of Mark, 16 chapters, start today, and read it, read two chapters a day until next Sunday. That'll get you through the whole thing. Get in touch with the real life Jesus and ask yourself, what is it that God is saying to me about the way of Jesus? And how will I live in response to that? So that's the first invitation. The second invitation is to think about what you have going on this week. One of the ways that we walk the way of Jesus, walk the way of His death, is to celebrate His steps along the way. And so on Thursday, we celebrate Maundy Thursday. Somebody asked me what the word Maundy was this week, and I had to Google it because I didn't even know. We never really, they just assumed that, I guess, in seminary. But Maundy means command. It's Latin. And so we celebrate the commands that Jesus gave at His table in the Last Supper, that when we gather in His name, that we would do these certain things in remembrance of Him. And so on Maundy Thursday, we consider the experience of the Last Supper. On Good Friday, we consider the last words of Jesus from the cross. And of course, on Easter Sunday, we celebrate that life can begin again. And so thinking about your schedule, thinking about your week, what space would you need to create to engage with Jesus on the road to the cross and to the empty tomb, considering the words of Mark about the life of Jesus and considering what it means to gather with this body on these special days of Holy Week. And so I'd invite you to consider joining us in those opportunities on Thursday and on Friday and on Sunday. Take this one week out of the year to lean in to the reality that while Jesus may not be the Savior that we want, He is most certainly the Savior that we need. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen.